The world celebrates its Christmas because its Christ was born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger.
The Church's Christmas, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
The Church celebrates her Christmas because the true Christ was crucified and wrapped in burial cloths and laid in the tomb.
For any size year-end donation, we'll send you an audio link of this sermon and an Advent sermon preached by Todd. Donate online at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Please include your email address in the memo line. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. when you consider your year-end giving. issuesetc.org or Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234, and write your email address in the memo line of your check.
I know that many of these extremists like to characterize their struggle as a struggle of Muslims against the Western world. But that clearly is not true if the largest number of victims that we're seeing are actually Muslims.
That's White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest commenting about the killing of 145 people, including 132 children at a school in Pakistan. The logic seems to be that if it's Muslim-on-Muslim violence, then we're not going to make it a concern, a terrorist concern for the State Department. That is a bit disturbing. We're not only going to talk about that story here in the last 15 minutes of Issues Etc., we're also going to take up the story of the killing of two hostages by a Muslim cleric in Australia. Joining us to do so, Dr. Alvin Schmidt, Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College, author of the book The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West. Dr. Schmidt, welcome back.
Thank you for having me again.
I'd like your reaction to what we heard there from Josh Earnest, White House Press Secretary. He seemed to be saying that if it's Muslim-on-Muslim violence, then why should the State Department be concerned?
Well, he's overlooking something that either he doesn't know or doesn't want to say, because much of this particularly violence over there in Pakistan was triggered by a lot of sympathizers under the TTP group as itself, saying that the Pakistani people were drunk on American dollars, and this was in one way a reaction to it. So it wasn't just Muslims against Muslims, but it was another way of using victims to make a point, and they don't care whether they're their own people or people from the West.
The reasoning that's given in the story that the Taliban claiming responsibility for the killing of 145 people, including this 132 children, is that this school was mostly populated by children of soldiers, and that the children were aspiring to follow in their father's footsteps and target the militants, therefore the attack. This sounds like punishing people for crimes they haven't committed, but is that consistent with the mindset of Islamic terrorism?
Of course. The situation has become so bad in Pakistan that as a result, or put it this way, before this particular tragedy happened, Pakistan had put on a moratorium on whether to execute terrorists. Now Sharif has mentioned that he's going to lift the moratorium. They have 800 terrorists at the moment on death row that they have not been executing since at least last year, in I think the summer of 2013. And in part, the moratorium has been put on by human rights groups that they were not supposed to have these people executed. But now, of course, they're apparently going to change their mind, at least with some. So that's another complicating factor in the situation. And it's also so bad, even in Pakistan, that many of the judges, when terrorists are brought to trial, are afraid to hand out a strict sentence. So in reality, fear is taking over, and not just in terms of this particular event, but also judges anticipating that if we give them a strict sentence, they're going to be more violent. Well, that's a fallacy, obviously, that they're operating with, and that's part complicated the situation over there.
Do the Taliban's actions in Pakistan, of course, the Taliban, the militants themselves, claim Islam as the basis and the rationale for attacks like this? Are they justified in doing so?
Basically, yes. This particular group that is known as the TTP group, the Tehreek Taliban Pakistan, is an umbrella group of a number of Al-Qaeda-related and other violent individuals that are out to accomplish their end by means of violence. And ultimately, they don't care whether they kill Islamic people. And I have often said, when you look at the history of Islam, Islam has often killed as many of its own as it has those who were not their own. And this is just another example of it. They will accomplish or seek to accomplish their end regardless of who it is, whether it's somebody that's of Islamic persuasion or isn't.
So when we look at this kind of attack here and we see children being specifically targeted, they're in fact the majority of the victims, obviously, were school children. We're talking about none of them adults. What should we know about the way that a Quranic Muslim, if they're consistent with the teachings on violence there in the Quran, regard people against whom they make their war?
Well, we should know that even according to the Quran, you should kill an unbeliever or someone who is in support or supports unbelievers. Now, the Pakistani army and their children here are seen as supporting the unbelievers of the Americans who were, for example, supporting them with money. As I said a moment ago, they were dancing in the streets and said that they're drunk. The Pakistani people are drunk on American money. So the end justifies the means. And their end is, of course, total control, and human life does not stand in between.
In the story that came out of Australia of two hostages being held for 16 hours and then killed by a Muslim cleric, most of the stories are emphasizing the fact that this was a person who'd run afoul of both the law and mental health concerns before. What are your thoughts on that story?
Yeah, well, it's a very interesting thing when you think, look back at the Sydney, Australia situation thing. This man was admitted as a hostage in 1996 from Iran. And then, of course, in the course of time, he has switched to Shiite, even though he came from Iran and is now a Shiite. But he has also been charged with a whole array of criminal charges, including being an accomplice of killing his ex-wife and a whole series of other about 50 sexual assault charges. The question that one has is, why did Australia admit him to the country as a hostage? I have not been able to find an answer on that. I've been looking here and there, and I don't really know. But this guy obviously came with a colored past, and they took him in as a hostage. And even while he's been in Australia, he has publicly, visibly demonstrated his disgust and his hatred of Australia and Western values, and nothing apparently great has been done in terms of seeing what was behind this man. Now, obviously, he may be unrelated to any particular organized group. At the same time, we never know, because they are also clever enough to not show any connection between individual terrorists and a group that may be sponsoring him and supporting him. That is part of the problem that we have, in a sense, overlooked. Just because there is no direct connection, there might be an indirect connection. And I don't think we have adequately, in the West, tried to see what else might be involved and that there might be indeed connections when we think there are not.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt is Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College. He's author of the book, The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West. Dr. Schmidt, it is always a pleasure. Thank you for your time.
It's always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Folks, we started today, and just think about the range of topics here and of guests on issues, et cetera. Just today, we started out by talking about the secular case for natural marriage with Pastor Warren Graff. We kind of walked over with Pastor Hans Feeney why Bible movies often fail. Talked about goings on in the Church of England with the naming of the first female bishop. Bishop Keith Ackerman was our guest. Terry Mattingly joined us after that to give his unique view on the secular advent in holiday movies. And we just concluded talking about these two stories about Islamic terrorism. and the so-called Religion of Peace with Dr. Alvin Schmidt. If you appreciate the breadth of topics that we cover every day here on Issues Etc., please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift. You can contribute online at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Now, with just 2 weeks left in the year, we're almost $22,000 short of expenses. We know that our listeners have pulled us through every single year, and I'm confident they will again this year. So thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of 2014. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll have Pastor Ted Giese review that movie, Exodus, Gods and Kings. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Thank you for donating almost $80,000 to Issues Etc. in the past month. With 2 weeks left in 2014, we're $22,000 short of expenses. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of the year.